This podcast is all about small business in St. Petersburg, Florida, how the business owners got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle, a marketing firm where we help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustles and ditch their 9-to-5s. As the founder of a small business here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners. Lucky for you, I also like to record those conversations for you to listen to. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, because there are probably more nuggets in other episodes, both past and upcoming. It would also be great if you rate and review the episode to let us know what you got out of the conversation. If you have a question about marketing, building your brand, or operating your small business that you'd like to have answered on a Q&A episode, please visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastquestion to submit it. Welcome back to Hustleberg. This is episode number 38. It's another Q&A episode, and we'll be focused on content creation. I use the questions that we received to create a few segments that encompass them all to make it a very cohesive episode. Now, in episode number 32, which was the first podcast episode Q&A, I mentioned how a podcast can be a great way for you to create content for your brand or business and introduce the idea of using your podcast as pillar content. Well, it seems that struck a chord with many of you, as you have been asking questions about content creation generally and pillar content specifically. This episode is for you. Now, when it comes to content creation, I've often been quoted as saying there is no such thing as too much content. In fact, I've written about it, I've been interviewed about it, and you can't convince me otherwise. I've even pointed out on the show that not even your mom will be able to keep up with everything that you post, and she's probably the one most invested in your success. If you'd like to read what I've written, head on over to beyondyoursidehustle.com/too much, and you'll see about 500 words on why you can't create too much content for your community and why it's important to give so much. We aren't going to be creating content for the sake of creating content, however. Everything that you create needs to add value for your community, and it needs to be a part of the five, your five focus areas of content. If this is unfamiliar to you, take a minute to visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/the5 or click the link in the podcast notes to get a better understanding of what I'm talking about there. Listeners to Hustleberg have heard about it over and over, going all the way back to episode number 4 of the podcast and many, many times since. Now, you're probably asking yourself, how would you create hundreds of pieces of content across all your digital channels without a team of work or a team of people doing all the work? This isn't as tough as it may seem. No one is expecting you to write 60 blog posts a day that are relevant to the five. Although 60 pieces of content a day is achievable. So what would that look like? Well, you have to remember that there are different types of content. Here's the good news. Each tweet you send, each link you share on Facebook, each photo you post to Instagram, and each video you share on TikTok is one piece of content. So if you were to share 10 tweets, 5 Facebook posts, 2 Instagram photos, and 3 TikTok videos, you've already created 20 pieces of content. And don't forget about Instagram and Facebook stories, as well as LinkedIn, both on your personal account and your company page. Now, as we will dive into later in the episode, many of these posts can actually be the same base piece of content, but presented with a different context. If you have a podcast, you can repurpose it by slicing and dicing audio clips, create memes of important quotes within the episode, use your show notes to create blog posts, and record not just audio, but video to create for YouTube. You can also ask your community to create their own content around their vision and use for what you do. That takes a bunch of pressure off of you with just that simple task. Finally, look around. There are tons of aspects of your business and your life that you've never shared with the community you've created. While a lot of reality TV is scripted or completely staged, there's a reason that it's interesting to viewers. It's a look at life behind the scenes. Those peeks behind the curtain can be a powerful way to engage your community. Now, when you consider all that, that 60 pieces of content number seems less daunting with all of these possibilities, right? So we're going to go a little bit deeper into each of these later in the episode, but here's a quick guide for you to take a look to see how you can be creating more and better content for your community while minimizing additional effort. Reuse your content with context. Use content on multiple platforms, creating multiple posts, using the same words, images, videos, etc. The key thing to think about here is context, not simply cross-posting. You can also repurpose pillar content by having a long-form, evergreen piece of content that you can break down and repurpose into multiple pieces of content across all of your platforms. Generally, we're talking about pillar content like white papers, podcasts, instructional videos, or webinars. These can be very helpful here in being able to create other content from that singular pillar content. You can also ask for user-generated content. Engage your community and have them create content for you. Your many fans and followers are definitely willing to share their ideas, create content that you ask for, or even create content for your business without anything more than an ask. And you can document your life. Use your daily routine and the activities of your day to create content around your business. Treat your life like you're on a reality show and then share the results. Let's dig a little deeper, shall we? When it comes to reusing your content, you need to do so with appropriate context across all platforms. The reason behind your post and the value you bring to the community on that platform are what make up your context. Most of the time, your reason to post should be that you were brought something you know your community will value that falls within the five and isn't necessarily a call to action. If you're not sure how to have this kind of content delivered to you, you need to examine how you use social media as a content consumer. We spent all of episode 30 talking about ideal engagement, starting with how you fix your various feeds across all platforms to provide you with the type of content you will value and that will provide value for others by making the platform, its algorithm, and the content you're served work for you. If you want a paced email lesson to walk you through, I suggest visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks to receive 3 emails to walk you through it. This will help you create and share content that you should be sharing. You cannot just broadcast. Your content can't be all calls to action. It should be about adding value to your community. You can decide the right ratio of posts that you make that have a call to action versus the one that are adding value to ensure that you're giving more than you're taking in the community that you've created. I like to post about 90% of the time within the five that adds value to the community, with 10% of the posts having a direct call to action, where we're directing people to listen or subscribe to this podcast, engage with the services that we offer small businesses, or to read articles created to broaden the awareness of our expertise. Now, when we're talking about reusing content, you can't just cross-post. With all of this in mind, you can't increase your content creation by simply cross-posting your Instagram photos to Facebook and have them count twice. They've made that super easy to do with only the slide of a switch, but it isn't really what you should be doing. And I'm using this example because it's probably the most prevalent, the easiest, and most obvious example seen where you discount one platform's community value. This is not what we're talking about when we talk about reusing content. Using the same caption for your Instagram feed or story and cross-posting it to Facebook isn't just lazy, it doesn't acknowledge the differences in your Facebook and Instagram communities. Plus, Instagram stories aren't equipped with the same functionality as Facebook stories. This really comes down to your audience and the utility of the platform that serves them. Your community on each platform is going to be expecting something different from you, because they interact with you on that platform, not to be part of your marketing effort in multiple places. The people you reach on one will be different than the people you reach on another, whether that is due to demographic differences, how they found you, or how they like how you present your business there. You need to treat each platform differently. Also, if people can see the same thing on multiple platforms, they don't have the need to connect with you everywhere. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with sharing the same photo or other piece of content on multiple platforms. In fact, I encourage you to do it. The key is to treat each post as an individual piece of content and craft it as such. You're reaching out to two or three different audiences on each of the platforms on which you share it, so you need to consider each of them differently. These differences give you the context that you can use to craft your content. Why is context important? Well, there's a ton of content out there waiting to be consumed. This isn't 1985 where you really only have ABC, NBC, CBS, a few dozen magazines, a couple of radio stations, and several newspapers with a national audience and reach. You have to compete for attention with a million channels, streaming content, and the internet for the eyes and the ears of your community. There's a surplus of content, yet the demand for it remains about the same, aside from the growth of the population. So you have to be great to reach people where they are and to engage them. You can't treat them like they used to treat TV commercials, where they made a bland, generic ad aimed at the audience at large without any real connection or engagement. On the flip side, you can hyper-target your people with your message to invite them into your community. If your people are 22 to 28-year-old women in law school with two dogs and a cat, you are going to be able to speak directly to the 22 to 28-year-old women in law school with two dogs and a cat with your content, instead of trying to create content for everyone that doesn't actually resonate with anyone, especially not the people who will benefit from being a part of your community. You can create unique content from the same base. So definitely post that photo across every platform you use, but only do so if you can offer something different to each audience that consumes it. Again, you must consider the utility of the platform and the audience it serves. Whether that's a different caption, using a different aspect of the five, or a different part of the same content that will make each post unique and engaging to the varying communities you provide value to. Here are 8 of the best ways to reuse or repurpose the same content across multiple platforms with context for both adding value and considering the utility of the platforms you can start with right now. I'll give you a minute to get a pen and paper. Okay, here they are. Post Instagram stories and Facebook stories to both of the platforms and offer a different take in each post. And if you use Snapchat, you can use those same videos to add them to your story there as well. Now make sure you take advantage of the different stickers with each platform and the functionality within each. Being reminded that Facebook Stories actually allows you to swipe up, and Instagram Stories requires that you are a mega influencer with a huge following to do so. Another thing that you can do is take screenshots of your tweets and use that screenshot on Instagram or Facebook with some additional context that you couldn't or didn't include in your tweet. Now, for tweets that really engage your community, use the text as a quote for an image meme with subtle branding. Maybe using the company colors, your title within the company, and your name for sharing across all the image-based platforms. When you're brainstorming or taking notes or conversing with your team over chat or email, snap a picture or a screenshot of legible writing or the digital notepad with your thoughts to use on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever platform you think would find it useful. If you have high-quality conversations with your team, partners, or customers that are longer than can fit in a single screenshot, you have an opportunity to screen record and scroll through it for short video content for your stories on Instagram, Facebook, potentially put it on Snapchat, or utilize on TikTok. For every short piece of video you create, post them as stories on Instagram and on Facebook, not as cross-posts, and also on TikTok. If you can take clips of your longer videos from YouTube to do the same, definitely do it. You're going to want to highlight your relationships by taking photos with your team, partners, and clients, and share a longer than normal text post to add context about your relationship and the important things that you guys do together. Finally, utilize the polling functionality on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to get real-time market research within the community you already serve. It's easier to repurpose content and make derivative pieces when you have a pillar content piece to draw from. In episode number 32, I talked extensively about using a podcast to serve as pillar content for your content creation. If you haven't listened to that episode, definitely check it out. Here's what your pillar content does for you. When you create pillar content, You're creating something, whether it's a podcast episode, a white paper, keynote address, meeting notes, or instructional videos. All of those can be broken down and turned into several pieces of content aside from their initial purpose when published. It could be all of these that can be broken up into 3 to 4 blog posts on your website. Think about how much time you would save by editing something like that to become a blog post rather than writing, rewriting, editing, and publishing new original written content into an article or blog post. You can slice them up even further using some of the ideas we outlined earlier in the episode to create even more content for social. For anything that is spoken word content, try to capture video and audio to upload to YouTube or strip the audio for a podcast episode if it isn't one already. You can further break it down for social media with tweets, quote memes, and still images. And what your pillar content does, when you create content around your brand, that pillar content serves as a terrific way to reuse and repurpose for another use. You slice, dice, and repackage content you've already created, and you can use it elsewhere without having to create more. In addition to using the examples for reuse and repurpose, you also create a library of searchable content that stands out when people look for you and in your industry. This will outlast any smaller pieces of content you create for use on social media. If they're not a part of your community already, they'll be looking for an expert to answer questions in your industry. This is an opportunity to take that long-form, evergreen content to show that you are the expert. Now you can break all of this down into social media for social media use. Once you've broken down longer forms into digestible bites for informative videos or articles, take or create short video clips from that work to share to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and LinkedIn, sharing video content that is highly valued by those platforms. Also, share smaller bites of your expertise with your community through tweets, quote memes, and audiograms. This content on social will drive your existing community toward your other work, and you'll be able to deepen your already existing connection with those that carry over. You've seen the options for reuse and repurpose for each bit of content you create. This is how we are able to create so much around Beyond Your Side Hustle by creating articles, videos, quotes, and microblogs from the larger pillar content created on this very podcast. You can also engage your community for user-generated content. Take some of the pressure off yourself by getting your community to do the heavy lifting for you by creating content. Whether video, photo, or written work, featuring user-generated content will not only ease your mind about creating enough, featuring how your community uses your product or service is going to highlight them. That makes them feel good about you and what you do, while also giving them a sense of pride in the fact that they use that product or service. That pride can also result in their sharing of your content that they actually created simply because it features them. How are you going to do this? First, reach out to your customers. Reach out to ask them to create content for you based on how they interact with what you do. Whether it's testimonials from clients about how they use your product or service and how it makes their life better or easier. When you've an engaged community of customers, this is much easier to accomplish. Though you'll notice that once you start to feature this type of content, it's going to keep rolling in from everybody who hasn't done it yet. Featuring them not only deepens their connection, it offers them a position as an ambassador for your brand in their own communities. You should also enlist the help of your team. Your team is second only to you in being an expert in what you do, and they may have helpful tips, hacks, or suggestions to make what you do even better for your clients. When you engage your internal community, they will share their contribution outside your existing community, giving you greater reach with a personal connection to the team member that created the content and subsequently shares it after you do. Finally, highlight your partners. Focus some of your user-generated content on the people you do business with. You can create community around their piece of the puzzle as well, and their connections may open doors for you. Again, having them share the content that they created or they created with you is going to be a way that they're going to expand the community that you have by giving their community a glimpse at the people that they work with. Your vendors may be connected to or even be potential customers. if not directly in a B2B way, the people who deliver your raw materials or provide a service that makes your business run could also be customers who want your end product. This is an easy way to engage your community, both internally and externally, to make content for you. To me, that sounds like a win-win. Finally, document your life, especially your work life. It may not seem like it right now, but by the end of the episode, I'm pretty sure I'm going to inspire you and light a spark to realize how interesting you are and how interesting what you do is to other people. We are all curious by nature. Otherwise, how can you possibly explain the decade and a half fascination we've had with the Kardashian family? We love to look at what others do, think, and surround themselves with when it's not like us or obvious to us. The tools that you use in your job are going to be very interesting in a behind-the-scenes way. How you schedule your day and the challenges you overcome are going to find an audience. Documenting what happens in your day-to-day is a lot easier than trying to create content and can be just as effective in engaging your community. First, look around. Right now, whether you're sitting, standing, whatever it is, when you are in your office or where you are doing what you do, you could probably create 100 pieces of content based on your view, your desk setup, the tools you use and how you use them, and your calendar, even your organizational system. It may seem mundane to you, but getting a glimpse of what happens behind the curtain isn't mundane to people who aren't living it every day. Here's an example. When I worked in the movie exhibition industry forever ago, back when movies were on 35 or 70 millimeter film and not on hard drives, people became absolutely giddy to get a look at the projection booth. Seeing how the projectors and platters operate or how movies are put together is something they found almost as interesting as the movies themselves. To me, this was boring, but it's because I was in contact with it daily. And you probably have a similar feeling about your day-to-day. But engaged people will find some aspect of it interesting. You can also share how something works. Like the environment you find boring, your process may seem to be as well, but there will be an audience ready to get a glimpse of how something works or how you get from raw materials to finished product, from your work tools to maintenance, or a step-by-step tutorial on the process that you go through, there is a fascination with the how something comes into how it goes out. Finally, share yourself. We are interested in the people we engage with. That's one of the reasons the five includes two aspects, albeit smaller parts of the focus that are personal. We come to care about those we know. Even if we've never met, we want to know about the people we interact with. And documenting is easier than creating, but it's just as interesting. Now, I've shared with you four new tactics for you to create more content. Will you create more content around your business? You did it. You've just listened to Hustleberg. To thank you for listening, we're helping you reach ideal engagement on any social media platform in a 3-week training available at beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks. See how you can change your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. Speaking of businesses, if you're a small business owner in St. Pete and you'd like to be a guest on an episode of the podcast, let us know at beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. If you got something of value from this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player. This is something small that you can do to help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer. The music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend Rhymer Educator. On May 28th, he released a mixtape entitled Quentin Quarantino about loneliness during the COVID-19 pandemic, and I encourage you to check it out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.